peace be to you and grace from him who freed us from our sins, who loved us all and shed his blood, that we might saved be our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's Old Testament reading and the story leading up to it could be the theme of a motion picture today, or even a headline from the news. There was a woman who was married who was unable to bear children. And every year she would go up to the tabernacle and pray to the Lord to give her a child. Her name was Hannah. And eventually, Hannah did conceive. And she had a son that she named Samuel. And once this child was weaned, she did the unexpected. She took this son, this boy Samuel, and presented him at the tabernacle for the Lord's service. He was entrusted to the high priest by the name of Eli. Now Eli was the father of two sons, both of whom had followed him into the priesthood. But these men were evil. They were rebellious against the Lord and did exactly what he asked them not to do. And they caused scandals, both in the public and in the church. Well, Eli rebuked his sons, but they did not listen. And this permissive father did no more. Now the Lord warned Eli that a day of accountability was coming. But when God gives warnings like this, he also provides plenty of time for people to examine their lives, to repent of their sins, and to turn to him for forgiveness. And God was about to deliver the message of the end of Eli and his two sons as priests in the temple, the tabernacle of the Lord, and a new day was going to dawn. And you heard about that in the Old Testament lesson, that day of accountability, that day of reckoning. As the Lord tells the young Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them." Wow. What a word of judgment, a word that today's permissive age also needs to hear and to take to heart. Now, in the 31 centuries that have followed since God spoke to young Samuel in the tabernacle, we've seen lots of changes in technology, but yet the human heart has remained largely unchanged. We remain as inclined to sin as every generation has since the fall of Adam. Today, unbelief and atheism are on the rise. And as I scan social media, I see a lot of atheists boasting that there is no God. And their sub-theme is this: if there is no God, there is no day of accountability or a day of reckoning. So you're free to live as you will, to do whatever you want. It doesn't matter because they claim there is no God. But they are deadly wrong. The Lord sees and knows everything. Jesus tells us in the gospel that whatever is hidden will be made known. Whatever is done in secret, it's as if it's done in public, on the world stage, and everyone knows about it. And Eli did not believe this. Nothing is hidden from God's sight, as Eli and his sons would soon discover. My dear friends in Jesus, this is why we need Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came to us in human flesh. He became our brother according to our flesh, that as true man, he may fulfill everything that God required under the law, and that by the shedding of his blood, he would forgive and atone for every sin of the human race. Yes, every sin, even those of public scandal, even those of permissiveness when we should have been stronger than we were and allowed evil to happen. Christ also died for these sins, and in him you are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are renewed. You are a new creation in Jesus. But going back to our text, quite a change was about to take place. An abrupt end would be followed by a new beginning. But again, all of this didn't happen instantaneously at the snap of a finger and overnight. God used Hannah. He opened her womb and gave her a son. And this son grew, and he was weaned, and she gave him to Eli. And he grew again in stature, and she would bring him a robe every year to wear as he grew. And he grew to the point where God was going to use young Samuel to be a messenger for Eli and his sons. Why does God delay? He tells us in the scriptures that he wants all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He grants us time for repentance, for turning from our sin, and turning to him for mercy and grace and forgiveness. Well, the text also tells us as it begins that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. But there were services in God's house, and they had the five books of Moses. But yet, those were set aside, and they went ahead with the doings of the tabernacle without really considering what they were doing before the Lord. That had all grown kind of lost to them. And the Lord was with them, but yet they really didn't take it all that seriously. This was the time of the judges who ruled over Israel for some 300 years. Now, the times of the judges had a different cycle within them, with every judge. It was about a 40-year cycle. Israel would believe and things would go well, and then they would backslide and forget the Lord and really just go through the motions. And God would send a neighboring country to attack Israel and to jolted back to repentance. And they would cry out to the Lord for deliverance, that God would raise up someone to save them and preserve them. And so God would raise up a judge, and he would deliver them from their enemies. And again, they would believe and have a time of peace, and the cycle began all over again. Now Samuel was going to be the last judge over Israel before the people demanded to have a king. And Samuel, a young boy dedicated to the Lord by his mother and into the Lord's service under the tutelage of the high priest, he lived in the tabernacle. And as he was growing up, Eli grew older and he became blind. He couldn't see any longer. And it was the high priest's duty, literally, to stay in the holy place and make sure the lamp of the Lord was always lit and never went out. But since Eli was blind, he had Samuel take that place. And so one night, while Samuel was lying in the holy place, he has a dream. He hears his name called, and he gets up immediately and goes to Eli. This happens three times before the aged priest begins to realize that this is not of human origin. This must be God speaking to Samuel. And so he directs the young boy, go back and lie down. And when he calls you again, simply say, "Here I am, Lord. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." And the fourth time, God came to Eli. He calls his name twice, "Samuel, Samuel." The doubling of the name indicates that God is deadly serious about what he is to reveal to this young boy. And he speaks the words you heard earlier. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And he pronounces the judgment against Eli and his house. And the punishment will take place for the iniquity that he knew for Eli, but he failed to correct in his sons and did not restrain them. Wow. What a message for Samuel to hear. We don't know how old he is right now. Might be an adolescent, might be a teenager. But he lies in bed the rest of the night. In the morning he gets up and he opens the doors for the tabernacle. And I think he probably is trying to avoid a direct contact with Eli. But Eli didn't fall for that. He called the young boy Samuel, and Samuel obediently went to him. And Eli asked him to tell him everything that the Lord had revealed to him in that conversation, and to withhold absolutely nothing. And so Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Eli, when he heard this message, had kind of a "what will be" response. "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And yet things did not change immediately. Years passed, and Samuel grew. He became recognized as a prophet within Israel, and not a word of the Lord fell from his understanding and grasp. And the chapter ends, verse 20, with the day of reckoning at hand. Well, what are we to make about the calling of young Samuel? Well, there are several takeaways. One, let's go back to his mother, Hannah. She fervently prayed for a child, and the Lord gave her Samuel. And she did not withhold him, but gave him as a thank offering back to the Lord for the Lord's service. And God indeed used Samuel mightily. But he did not forget Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and to two daughters. For God blessed her. What else are we to learn? Samuel was called directly by the Lord. Immediately, we use in theology, God spoke directly to Samuel and revealed his will to Samuel. Well, the direct, immediate calling of people for divine service ended with the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. And ever since then, beginning with the election of Matthias as the apostle to replace Judas, the church has been given the responsibility of making sure that they have men who have been tested, who have been educated, who have been found competent to present as candidates for the holy ministry. And God, through his church, calls a man to be a pastor, especially of a specific congregation. Now, this is important for us here at Blessed Savior. For you also now are calling for a new pastor after Pastor Vern's almost 30 years of service to you. And you have a list of names that have been entrusted to you, men who meet all the criteria of having been tested and educated and found competent and capable, who have been serving the Lord faithfully and well where they have been placed by God. And now you as a congregation are given freedom to select a man from that list and to extend to him a call by the majority vote of your congregation that we are selecting you to be our pastor. But it's more than that. God gives you that freedom of selecting the man, but once you select the man, it's the Holy Spirit who stands behind the call of your congregation. So you can honestly say to the man that you call, that Blessed Savior Lutheran Church, under prayerful guidance of the Holy Spirit, has elected you to be our next pastor. And so it is true. The man will wrestle with God's call to Blessed Savior, as well as the call to where he presently serves. And he will seek God's wisdom and discernment as to which place he will best serve as a pastor. In this process, trust the Lord completely. He will bring you the right man at the right time. Another takeaway from our text is that the Holy Spirit now works through the Scriptures to reveal His will for us. Isaiah says, "To the law and to the testimony." And also, "Who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word, that's the person the Lord esteems." The person who studies the Scriptures, takes them to heart, and even trembles at what they reveal. A final takeaway is something that I learned in seminary with my Hebrew instructor. As we studied the Old Testament in the original language, he taught us that when we approach the Bible, we should have three Bible verses in mind. The first is from Exodus chapter 3, when Moses encounters the burning bush. And the Lord says to him, "Take off your shoes, your sandals, for the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground." And the Holy Scriptures are holy ground for us, because God Himself is present. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth as He reveals to us Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of the world. And so as we read the Scriptures, we are going to focus on the gift of God through His Son and glorify the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for what He makes known to us. That's the holy ground, Exodus chapter 3. And then our instructor told us, pray expectantly as you go to the Scriptures. It is holy ground. Remember the words of Psalm 119. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Lord, you are the light of the world. Through your lamp of Holy Scripture, enlighten me, your servant, that I may better see you and understand you and follow you. And the third verse that he recommended for us to take to heart were words right from our text, what Eli told Samuel to say the next time he was called by the Lord. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so also we, when we go to the Scriptures, remember it is holy ground. It is you're going to be enlightened by the Lord as you go through His Word, and be expectant that the Lord Himself is speaking and you are listening. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." That is, they retain it, they hold on to it, they treasure it. He also says if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. as we consider everything that God reveals to us in today's Old Testament lesson. May we be like young Samuel, eager to be the Lord's servant, eager to listen and to follow. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.